This week I have been doing something very dangerous. I have been doing something really dangerous, and that is I've been studying the Bible. And as I've been studying the Bible, I've been reading it in its ancient language, and I've been reading the writings of ancient rabbis and dangerous people like Martin Luther and theologians from the ages and pastors. And I've noticed something really important that you need to know. I've noticed that sometimes you should just forget nouns and notice verbs. Sit with me on this one for a bit. Sometimes you need to forget nouns, that is, green pastures, still waters, soul path, and just take notice of verbs. Because when you read ancient writers, ancient leaders, rabbis, and people like Martin Luther, when you read them reflecting on Psalm 23, they tend to focus more on the action and less on the stuff. And when you read modern pastors preach on this stuff, they get all obsessed with the things, the nouns. You know what nouns are? Nouns are things. And modern people are obsessed with things. We're obsessed with stuff. We heard last week that we are in a materialistic society, and we are. We focus on things I can touch, taste, see, and accumulate, and have, and get. And that, I said last week, was the way of Cain. And when you read modern writers, they tend to look at the things, the nouns. They go, what's the green pastures? What's the green pastures? And where's your green pastures? What's the still waters? What's a soul? And how does it work? They get all obsessed with the nouns. But when you go back a bit, I spent some time reading Martin Luther and some old rabbis. They're interested in the verbs, in the action. They're interested in what does it mean to lie down? What does it mean to be led? What does it mean to be restored or to walk? And they focus on the verbs more. Why? Because the verbs are what God does. The verbs are God's action for us. The verbs are getting to know what God the Holy Spirit does in our lives and hearts. And so today, rather than what you'd often get when someone preaches on the second part of Psalm 23, you'd often get someone explaining what the green pastures are and what still waters look like. Because, you know, in Israel, there's these wadis, and sometimes the water rushes down and that's not still, that's dangerous water and all that. They give you all that. But today I want to just look at the action in Psalm 23, the verbs, and the reason is because this is the work of the Holy Spirit. This is the work of Jesus Christ's Spirit in our lives. And there are three actions in today's verses. These are three things that God does. God does in our hearts and lives through the message of Jesus and through the Holy Spirit. And they're very important. This is what God the Holy Spirit does in Psalm 23. Settles me down, leads me, and brings me back. But I want to look at these three things, the actions, the things God does. And I want to ask you to invite God the Holy Spirit to do these things too. So you ready? What's the first action? Say it with me. Settles me down. How do you settle a baby? We have lots of kids in our family, and I'm 13 years older than the youngest one, so I remember as a teenager, my mum said I had the power of zonk. Zonk meant I could put my little sister to sleep because I was so boring. She just fell asleep. So my question to you is, how do you settle a baby down? Help me out with this. What are some tricks? We've got some pats, some rubs. Rocking? Not too much though. Singing? Oh, I like singing. A lot of the Middle Eastern commentators tell us that the shepherds sing or they play to the sheep. They do a tune that the sheep know. Nice. Christine, I think you just preached a whole sermon in one go. Make the baby aware of your presence. Beautiful, right? God's presence, yeah? The bouncer net with the foot. I'd forgotten those things. Yeah. Last chance. How do you settle? Oh, swaddling. Yeah, they used to, a swaddling cloth is wrap them nice and tight. There's something about being wrapped tight. Make them feel safe. Look, let me ask you a harder question. How do you settle a cat down? Can you settle a cat down if you ask for permission? Can you settle a cat down if you don't know it? Sometimes I feel like the 23rd Psalm should have been like, the Lord is my cat keeper. Sometimes I think we're like cats. We're very independent. How do you settle a sheep? Well, you probably can't settle a sheep unless the sheep knows you and you know the sheep. And that's, I think, what Christine was getting at just before. In the first part of Psalm 23, it says, "He makes me lie down in green pastures." There's a lot of argument about the translation. It could be "He makes me" or "He lets me." And there's a lot of argument about what the green pastures look like. And a lot of Middle Eastern people point out that the green pastures are just rocks. But that's the nouns. Notice what God the Holy Spirit does in this psalm. God's presence, and most especially the grace of God, settles me down. You know what grace is, don't you? This is the most important thing that we could ever say. This is the most important thing we could say to the world. Grace is that God loves you as you are, that Jesus died for you. Grace is that you are welcome and accepted by God the Holy One. And you don't have to work to achieve that or be particularly holy or clever or perfect. You have that done for you. And see, a life of religion where you're working your guts out to please God or to get better karma or to go up there, that doesn't settle you down. But grace settles me down, the idea that I am loved first. Earlier we prayed a prayer by an ancient Christian, Gregory of Nyssa. We prayed something together, 1,600 years old. That's not very old compared to the 23rd Psalm. But notice at the end, St. Gregory says, "You bring your flock to lie in this light. You bring your children to rest in you. Show me how I should sleep." So this is the first thing. God, the shepherd, settles us down. The conflict in our culture and our world will not end while we are all still not at peace with God. But God the Holy Spirit, who welcomes us, even though we are sinners, that settles me. Maybe if you're having trouble settling, focus for a moment on the cross of Jesus and the grace of God, because the shepherd settles me down. The second part is, he leads me beside still waters. Monday was a public holiday. We went for a hike. And as usual, it was a Matt crazy hike, because we hiked down a creek, hopping on the stones until we got to the end of that, and then I went off trail. We went crazy. And my daughter and wife came along, and I did what I often do with my daughter. It was actually a real surprise that for once my wife followed me, which was unusual. It's normally the other. But I did what I do with my daughter, and I've been doing with her ever since she was small, is I went first. Stomped through the tall grass, move it aside, stomping to make sure that I scare the snakes off, making sure there's no holes, pulling out the stick and waving it around, getting rid of the golden orb spider webs. And then I said to her, "Just step where I step. I'll just beat the path and you just go where I go." And we got at the end to a beautiful pool of quiet water. This is what the shepherd does. Notice this. The shepherd leads. Shepherds lead. They don't drive. When we think of God, we don't think of someone who drives us, who forces us, who farmer on the motorbike with a fag, yelling at the sheep, tooting at them. God goes first and God leads us. And this is Jesus Christ. He literally beats the path for us through all the pain and all the obstacles and all the stuff. And so when we look at Psalm 23, we're seeing Jesus Christ and we're seeing that God the Holy Spirit leads. But too many of us modern people are too busy looking at all the nouns, all the stuff. Where's my still waters? Where's my green pastures? Where's my path? What's my stuff? And we're saying, "And God, why don't you get me there?" But the thing is that the shepherd leads. One of my favourite parts of John's gospel is the very end, and Jesus says to one of the disciples, "You will be led where you don't want to go." The shepherd leads. And that's why Jesus over and over says, follow me. I tried to work out how many times he said that this week and I got confused. I kind of found 22, Jesus saying, follow me, step where I step, walk where I step, go where I go. I think he says it roughly 22 times. The thing is, are we willing to follow? Are we willing to go where we don't want to go? Or are we defining it and saying, I want this, I want that, now give me that? Because he will not take us where we want, he will take us somewhere better. And that path might just go through the cross to the empty grave. So the second action is, he leads me. And wherever he leads me, it will be a place of his grace. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Now the third one, I'm going to say the third one is, brings me back. You might be familiar with Psalm 23, verse 3, he restores my soul. What does restores my soul mean? Once again, we have modern people obsessed with stuff. So they go, oh, soul, oh, soul, what's a soul? I used to run men's groups, and the first question that we would ask is, what is the state of your soul? And almost every time a new bloke came along, they knew exactly what I meant. What I meant is, how are you going really? But almost every time, I'd say, how's your soul? And someone who didn't want to talk about how they really were would say, oh, I don't know, what's a soul? How do you define it? I don't know. So we focus on the thing. Now, the word soul here, it's something that you could basically almost forget. It's the word nephesh in Hebrew. It is one of the most common words in Hebrew that there is in the Old Testament. It can mean throat, it can mean essence, it means life. Most often the word soul just means a person. So, you know, like the Titanic sank and so many souls were lost. It just means a person. And it just means me. So actually, he restores my soul. The most obvious Hebrew meaning, if you're not trying to be clever and focus too much on the nouns, it's actually just he restores me. That's actually what it means. He restores me. And when you go over and look at how people from the Middle East read this, that's what they all do. They all know. My life he brings back, says the ancient Greek. The Arabic versions say, he brings me back. Wait a minute, they've also changed the verb, haven't they? What was the verb? He restores me. Well, again, that's one of the most common words in the Bible, and it literally means bring back, come back. It means return. For the Hebrew lovers, it's shuv, just means return. And so all of the Middle Easterners are going, well, it's me, and it's coming home, it's coming back. The Syriac says, he brings me back. And over, if you actually look at how people from the Middle East read this psalm, they get verse 3 and they say, he brings me back. The Armenian gets it really well. He brings me from the wrong path to the right path. And you can see it makes sense because the next line is, he restores my soul, he leads me in paths of righteousness. What's paths of righteousness? It's the right track. He brings me back and he puts me on the right track. That's what a shepherd does. I think old Christians understood this. For instance, you find it whenever people start to sing about the 23rd Psalm. Who remembers this one? Ready? Perverse and foolish, oft I strayed, but yet in love he sought me, and on his shoulder gently laid, and home rejoicing brought me. See, when Jesus told us the story of the shepherd who brings the sheep home, he was just telling us what the Psalm 23 already said. It's already in there. He brings me back. All Christians understood this. He brings me back. Do you ever need to be brought back? Do you ever find yourself on the brink? Do you ever find yourself kind of like lost? You've lost your way, you've lost your values, you've lost your center, you've lost your path? Well, this is what the Holy Spirit does. When we hear the gospel of Jesus and welcome the Holy Spirit, he brings us back on track. He brings us right back to the center, to who we are in God. I don't show videos much. It's not my thing. But 18 months ago, I was just captured by this story in the news. It was the story of a kid who was 3 years old, lost in the Australian bush. Remember this story? His name was AJ Efalak. And he was missing at 3 years old in the Aussie bush for 4 days. So I just want to show you what happened when he was found.
An SES volunteer of 10 years, he travelled 2.5 hours to help with the search and was the first on the ground to reach the little boy.
I can't describe the emotions that actually went through me. You know, I walked around the corner there and through the bush, and I just looked down and said, "Hey, mate, what are you doing here?"
Autistic and non-verbal, AJ's face said it all.
He looked at me and he gave me his biggest smile you could ever see.
Then the radio called to share the news with the boy's family.
My AJ.
That always cracks me up, because right there we see this CES volunteer, Bluey, great Australian name, and he's carrying that kid, and the kid just nestles in. And every time I see that, I think of the Good Shepherd. Jesus says there's a lost sheep. The shepherd finds them and he carries them home on his shoulders. And this is what Psalm 23 is saying. It says, God brings me back. When I'm off the path, he restores me. He gets me back. In Lebanon, the shepherds tell us that when a sheep gets lost, it can be fairly sheepish. So when a sheep gets lost, the Lebanese shepherds say, what a sheep in that part of the world will do is it will often try to hide under a bush or a rock. And it will be hidden in that rock, quivering and bleating. And the shepherd has to find it quick. Why? Before it's killed. Yeah, before it's found by a predator. When they find a lost sheep, it is often so traumatized, poor little bleating, quivering thing, that it can't walk home. And so what they do, they literally carry the sheep home. They bring the sheep back, like Bluey carrying AJ. And I can tell you most certainly that there are times in my life when I've been like that little sheep, bleating, lost my way. And it's the gospel of Jesus. It is hearing and receiving and knowing that you are loved, that you're worth dying for, and living in that, that brings me back. And God brings us back. God doesn't write us off or forget us or let us go and go, well, you know, they've had too many chances. God brings us back. So, let me finish this. Psalm 23, verses 2 and 3 actions of the shepherd, which are what God the Holy Spirit does in our lives. God settles me down. God leads me through. And God brings me back. I finish with a question, which you're welcome to talk to people about. Which of these three actions of the Holy Spirit will you pray for today? You don't have to talk to somebody near you. You can just think about it quietly for a moment. Three actions of God the Shepherd who never forgets us, who risks everything for us, who doesn't drive us but leads us. Which of these three actions would you pray for today? Okay. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you are the Good Shepherd, and thank you that through the work of your Holy Spirit you settle me down. You lead me through, and you bring me back. And may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life eternal. Amen.